All right.
I love a big entrance. I've got to start with a little background for this message, just to kind of get you on the same page that I'm at, because God changed it up a little bit for me. One of the, you'll see in your bulletin, the title, so to speak, is "The Power of Prayer Will Impact Your Life." Well, I have an example of how that works. And some of you may find this kind of funny, but I've had this message kind of written and kind of on the back burner for probably a month and a half, 2 months. I travel for work now, so I have a lot of time on my hands. So I just jot things down and I'm good. But this wasn't the message that I was going to preach, because I thought, why do we need to hear another message on prayer? But God said, that's what I gave you, just do it. I said, okay. So I wrote it up and I had it all ready. The funny part is, last Sunday when Don was preaching, and I hope none of you do this, I'm sitting in the back on my bulletin jotting notes. And one of the notes that I wrote was, send your message to your wife. Now, I live with my wife, so I'm thinking, why do I have to send my message to my wife? But my wife usually doesn't read my messages. And being working out of town, I finished my message up on last Monday night, and I emailed it to my wife, because that's what God told me to do. I always get a little scared when that happens. Has your wife ever critiqued any of your work? I'm thinking, there's the spelling errors, the grammar, all that stuff. That's not exactly what happened. What happened was that my wife read my sermon, and then God gave her a word for me to share with you that ties in with the sermon. So I'm going to start with what my wife shared with me, and then you'll see why another message on prayer. Bottom line is, prayer is important, is what God told me. So just preach it. I said, okay. So here's, I want you to listen carefully to this, because this is God speaking to my wife, and then some things he speaks to for just her. But this one clearly was to be added to this message at the beginning. So if you get everything you need with this opening thing, you're all dismissed. Right? But I just want it to resonate in you as I preach, because prayer is vital in our Christian walk. We have to be in prayer. Okay? This is what my wife wrote to me. This is a reminder of things already known. The only difference is the way we hear the message. Pray for revelation and spiritual ears to hear not just the words I speak, but to ask God to make His word a living word, a Rhema word, a word to live by with spiritual ears to hear truth in what is being spoken and eyes to perceive the truth. Pray for spiritual revelation, truth, not just words spoken, but words spoken, but spoken words from God's heart to yours. He desires for us to live in truth, revelation, truth. Okay? I could end right there. I'm not going to, sorry. But it's a reminder of things already known. We all know that we should pray. But what I want to encourage you to is to listen to the words with spiritual ears. Don't listen to me, but open yourselves up and hear the words as God wants you to hear them. That truth from God to you. It's not from Tim to you. It's from God. So I want you to just listen with that in mind, because God wants you to hear the truth in a way that I cannot bring you, right? He's got stuff to share, and he's just using me as the mouthpiece to do that. So listen to the words. Here we go. All right. I just wrote the main scriptures on your bulletin. I have a lot of scripture. If anybody ever wants the scripture, I'll be glad to give you my notes and outline later in case you miss any. But I'm going to start with Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Probably most of us have heard it. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, what does that mean? Very simple. Tim's paraphrase. Stop worrying and pray. God's got it covered, right? But pray with thanksgiving. Don't pray the old woe is me nonsense. Pray believing that God's going to take care of it. Pray with thanksgiving. Be happy and blessed and just pray and give it to God. Okay? But prayer is us talking and us listening, right? We can talk to God all day long, but we have to listen to the answers. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6, that's where our main text is going to be. But we're going to start in verse 5. And this is Jesus teaching us how to pray and also how not to pray. Now, a little disclaimer. Everybody prays in different ways. There is no correct 100% right way to pray. So I'm going to give you one example out of Scripture. That's not to say if you don't pray exactly like Tim says today, God's not listening, right? You can pray and God's hearing you. We can pray as a group. We can pray one-on-one. We can corporate prayer for a special need or a healing. All of those things are prayer. They're all good. God's listening. This is just one example of Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. Okay? So Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read 5 through 8. In the dark. "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." Okay, so there's a couple not-to-dos and a couple to-dos there, okay? But prayer is us talking to God and listening for His answer. Okay, so yes, another message on prayer. Prayer's vital. That's what God told me. So here we go. Okay? Prayer. Like anything new you learn, it takes practice, takes time, may seem a little awkward. I'm sure Robert, well, you may still be awkward at the drums, but when you first started drumming, that was probably a very foreign, weird, hard thing to catch on to. I don't play the drums, but having both hands and both feet moving and making sense, that's hard. How about skiing? Anybody ski? Anybody hop right on the skis and go to the Black Diamond and just come on down? Well, if you did, you came on down, probably tumbling. You start on the little bunny slope thing, and they teach you, and then you progress, right? So prayer's the same way. Prayer sometimes can be difficult. Sometimes it's hard for us to know what to pray or how to pray, and there's always somebody telling you how to do it and how not to do it. But what I want you to think about today is that the Bible, just like I'm going to share in a little bit, is Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. The Bible is full of great stuff. If we're in the Word, God's going to teach us what He needs us to know so that we can be effective in what we do. But prayer is a vital part of our walk and communication with God, so we have to be doing it. Okay? All right, so now we're going to get into the main text. Matthew 6, I'm going to be in 9 through 13. Okay? Many of you may recognize this immediately. Some refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. Right? We've all, probably most of us have heard it. Some of us probably recited it as kids in church. But it's Jesus teaching the disciples. And that's what the Word of God is to us. The Bible is our tool for learning. So I'm going to break this down a little bit, and I'm going to kind of focus on a couple of key things. If you were to break this scripture down, you'll see that God breaks it down. The first three kind of lessons in this scripture is they're related to God and His reign. And then there's three more that refer or more related to us. So I've given you just the titles in your bulletin. Relationship, respect, and reign. Those are God-honoring things. And then food, forgiveness, and freedom are more related directly to us. So there's kind of six key things that are covered in that Lord's Prayer, if you've ever broken it down. So I'm going to just kind of go through them with you. But let's read it first. Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. It says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Somebody was reciting it with me. I heard somebody whispering in the back. Okay. So there's several things in there that I want to hone in on today. So we're going to break it down a little bit. Our Father who art in heaven. That's the relationship. I think when we pray, we oftentimes... And again, there are situations where if I'm at the altar and there's a specific prayer need, we say, okay, let's just get to the need. But I think we should always take that time to have that relationship and that connection with God when we pray. So when I, and again, every situation is a little different, but sometimes we skip over the God-honoring parts and just get right to the list. And I think it's important that we give God the honor and glory in all that we do. So the first one's relationship. Just cry out to God. Just like you would talk to your heavenly, your earthly father, you give him that, you have that relationship with him, and then you go from there. God's the same way. He wants that relationship. So, our Father who art in heaven, call out to him. He longs to hear from you. He wants that relationship. We've all heard that one before. So, hallowed be your name. What does hallowed mean? Anybody know? Kind of a weird word. But hallowed means holy. Name is sanctified, known by all as God. And we're to put no other thing before God. So hallowed be your name is respect. God is holy. God is the creator of everything. He deserves our honor and our respect. He is holy. Name above all names. He is holy and worthy of our praise, honor, and respect. So we should take time when we pray and give him that. Just let him know that you honor him, you respect him, you honor his holy name above all else. And I feel sometimes if we don't honor God's name that we almost profane it. If we kind of skip these pieces, it's almost like... You know, you're going bypassing that whole point and just do what I need you to do, God, instead of taking that time and giving him that honor. So I think that's an important piece. Okay. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's reign. God did not create all that we have for us. This is God's creation. God is in control. God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, God, not mine. Your will be done, God, not mine. Right? We need to acknowledge that. We need to have that relationship, that respect, and we need to acknowledge that God's reign is the ultimate. It's for his sake, not ours. God's name is holy. His kingdom come. His will be done. I think sometimes we kind of gloss over some of these things, but it's important to realize that God's will be done in our life, not ours. We need to surrender to him. We need to acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, and we need to do it more frequently, I think, than we do. And when his kingdom comes, that's the completion. That's when he comes back. He's going to complete things the way he has ordained them, the way he has done them. We want to be a part of that. So we need to give ourselves to him and do the things we need to do. And part of that is this relationship, respect, and acknowledging his reign. Okay? So that's the first three. Those are God-related things. Okay? If we continue through this prayer, food, forgive, and freedom, you would say food is pretty good. It says, give us this day our daily bread. He's not talking just about giving us a piece of bread to eat. He's talking about providing for our daily needs. Everything. Okay? So, give us this day our daily bread. Daily needs. That's food, shelter, anything that we need, not wants, but needs, God is going to provide for. But we shouldn't take it for granted and not acknowledge that. Say, well, I don't need to ask him to give me my daily bread because he's going to do it anyway. Well, we should still have that as part of our prayer, is that give us this day our daily bread. Daily needs. God's been providing daily needs since the beginning of time. If you were to go back to Exodus and Moses' day, I mean, God promised that he would provide manna. So God will provide for the needs all the time. But that doesn't mean that we should take it for granted and assume that it's going to happen. We still need to pray for those things. Okay, the next one's a hard one. The next one I'm going to spend a little more time on. It says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. If you were to turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 3, it's worded a little different. It reads, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who has sinned against us. Forgiveness. Okay? That's a tough one for a lot of people. A lot of people carry around a lot of stuff. And I think all of that stuff impedes our ability in what we do. I think sometimes all that baggage prevents us from doing the things we need to do. So part of this prayer is, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sins against us. Asking God to forgive my sins, but then we also need to forgive those who forgive or sinned against us. Forgiveness is a process that refreshes our heart and our spirit. Anybody carried some junk around for a long time and then you finally forgive somebody or move on? It's just like this anvil's been lifted off you, right? And then you're so much more freer, and you can connect more with God and in prayer and in, with those around you. It just changes your whole outlook when you ask for forgiveness of something you've done, or especially, I think, when you offer forgiveness to someone else. It's just a refreshing type of thing. A few verses further in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says, for if you forgive men when they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Okay, so it's not an option. It's a command. You are to forgive those that have sinned against you. And if you don't, then God is not going to forgive you yours. But like I said, forgiveness is a process. It's not easy. I understand that. Sometimes some of those hurts go real deep, and it's hard to do. I want to outline just a couple of things that I think hopefully will help you with that if anybody's struggling with that forgiveness part. And there's a lot of scripture here. You can write them down, but I can certainly share this with somebody if they just want it for themselves. But I think the first step to forgiveness is we need to give it to God. We need to just pour it out on God. Is God a big God? Can he handle anything we pour on him? Amen, right? So give it to him. He tells us, give me your junk. So we need to pour that out on God. In Psalms 51, 17, it reads, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. God can handle our brokenness. He can handle our sin. He can handle anything we need to give Him. So if you need to ask forgiveness or give forgiveness, give it to God. Go to prayer and tell God. Just cry out to Him, say, God, take this junk, help me to get over it, get beyond it, get forgiveness. Tell Him about your pain. Cry out, give it to Him. He can handle it. Once you've done that, then allow God to comfort you. Okay? God is a big God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, praise be to God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And then he goes on to say, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. God is a God of comfort. Once we pour out to Him and ask that forgiveness or say we need to forgive someone else, let Him comfort you. Just take that time and let His Spirit wash over you and just wash you clean, comfort you. Ask Him to take away the pain. Ask Him to take all that junk away. He will. Then you can move on. Okay? Third step, of course, we have to confess our sin. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, give it to God. Let Him comfort you. Confess it. Just get rid of it. Okay? And these are in no particular order. They just all have to happen in my mind. You have to give it all to God. So no matter how bad the sin, no matter how bad it was, no matter how many years ago it was, it might have been 50 years ago, and you've been carrying it all this time. Might have happened this morning over the breakfast table. Doesn't matter. God can handle it. God wants to take care of it for you. Key here is confess the sin, accept responsibility for my part of that sin. Don't just put all it on the other guy, because it takes two to tango sometimes. But if it's something I've done myself, I've got to confess that and give that to God. If it's something I'm holding against somebody else, I need to acknowledge my part of that mess and then take responsibility for those actions. But give it all to God. And then ask God to restore you. God wants to restore you. He wants to renew your spirit, refresh you. So ask Him to restore you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us to the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? God wants to restore you. The relationship with Him, the relationship with that other person. He wants to put everything back, and He will help you to do that. Okay? I think part of confessing and forgiving is to recognize and identify the lie that got you into the mess to start with. Sometimes a sin is a lie from the enemy that got you to do something. Usually Satan is involved somewhere with conflict and with people needing forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive thought and make it obedient to Christ. We need to identify the lie, identify the thing that got us in the mess to start with, so that we don't screw up again. All right? And then we need to replace that lie with the truth, which is in the Word of God. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, we need to, in order to have that forgiveness, we need to confess it, give it to God, ask Him to restore us, and then know the truth so that we can move beyond it. Because otherwise, we sometimes fall into the same mess again. And then the last part of the prayer, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Freedom. God will protect and lead us. Do not lead us into temptation. Ask God not to let you into that temptation, into those things that cause you to sin or cause you to fall away from Him. Right? Ask Him. Ask Him to watch over you. Ask Him to protect you. Deliver us from evil. Okay? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. God has the power, the authority to do all things. So don't you think it makes sense to ask Him to watch over us? Do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Freedom. So the Lord's Prayer, hopefully that's a little bit different. You probably read it 100 times and never maybe broken it down, but it's a pretty cool thing. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Relationship, respect, and reign. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Food, forgive, freedom. God wants to have that relationship with you. He wants you to be a part of His kingdom. We just need to acknowledge that. And I think we need to do that through prayer all the time. I know it's, again, not all the time, but we need to be doing it more than we do. I think sometimes we rush the prayers. We do the dinner time prayer. Thanks for the food. Let's eat. And that's okay. Don't get me wrong. But I think, especially in our private time, we need to acknowledge all of these things when we're praying with God. Take it that step deeper and let Him really get into your soul and your spirit and work on you. If we do just the quick rote prayers, we're that meaningless repetition. We need to be actually connecting with God and with His Holy Spirit. And I think that's a whole new level of prayer that I find myself sometimes skipping over. You know, you do the prayer and you have things to do. But we need to take that time. And I think it's important that we do that. And I know some of you are very disappointed that this is a short message. But that's what God told me to share this morning. I had a little bit of other stuff and God said, no, preach on prayer and be done. So the altar call is this. If you are struggling with any part of the Lord's Prayer, if you're having trouble connecting with God relationship-wise, or if you have trouble with that respect and acknowledging His reign part, if you have daily needs and they're not being met, and you need prayer for that, if you need to forgive or have something in your heart that needs taken care of, we'd love to pray for you for that. And if you just want to acknowledge God and give Him the praise and glory, just do that during the altar call. And of course, if you have any other prayer needs, you can bring them as well. So the team can come back up, and I'm going to close us in prayer. And Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, again for being in this place, for being with us, for Your Spirit being present, Lord, this morning. I thank You for Your Word that gives us so many examples, Lord, of Your power and Your might and what heaven is like and how holy You are and all of those things. We need to just open the Word, Lord, and we can see You so tremendously. We pray, Lord, that You would just, I don't know who this Word was for this morning, Lord, but I pray that they got it. I pray that they had those spiritual ears that we talked about earlier and that Your message for them sunk in. And for all of us, Lord, I just pray that You would just continue to provide for our needs and help us to draw closer to you and do all of those things that your word tells us to do. As we leave this place today, just watch over us, Lord, as we go out into the world, Lord, and help it not to just be a Sunday morning, oh, I was in church, I did what I was supposed to do, but help it to carry over into the week, Lord, that we would remember your words and pray this prayer and mean it and know that we are connecting with an awesome God who will, who wants to provide for our needs, who wants to connect with us, and just watch over us and provide for us. So we thank you, Lord, again for this time this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we I just want to encourage you this morning to come to the altars if you have anything to lay at his feet.